So where are we? We're on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, and we're talking about the Lishna Basra of Rav and Abaye. Let's just review. According to Abaye in the Lishna Basra, Rabbi Yehuda would be matter a case of miskaven. The man actually had kavana; he had full intention to enjoy the fragrance and the aroma of this avodah zara, and yet it's mut. Why? Because it's low efshar. He's got to get to where he has to get to, and there's no other way that he can go. He doesn't have an alternative route, and therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care one way about miskaven or low miskaven, low efshar is going to be a mitigating factor, and therefore it's permitted. And Rava rejects that. Rava says, when Rabbi Yehuda says that that lo miskaven is kemiskaven, he never meant to say that we can be makil on a case of kavana. Rabbi Yehuda meant l'chumra, but not l'kula. And Abaye has what he considers a clear-cut proof to support his position, and this is called mishalshalin. What it means is that there are umnim, that are those professional workers, and they're in charge of fixing up the Kodesh Kadoshim in this case, and what we're going to do is we're going to have to roll them down in a pulley. Now, before we get to that case, let's just remind ourselves of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Where did he say his drasha? Don, do you remember where he said his drasha when he got together all the people on the holiday? It's right outside the Heichal. And where did he get the shade from?
The wall. Well,
and when it got sunny again, he would move to another part of the wall. In other words, where he'd get real shade. So Abai says, how can you do that? You're being nena, you're getting benefit from the walls of the Heichal. And that's a violation of Isuri Hanoah or Me'ilu, what we call from Hegdesh. And the only way you could justify Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is to say that it was low efshar. You know, even though he certainly had kavana, he moved around from one place to the other in order to enjoy the benefit of the shade. But the answer is, he had no choice. In that case, he had to darshan, and this was the only place he could do the drasha. There was a wide area. We said it was many, many amos wide. And low efshar is mutter. So Rava says, name. Rava says, Abai, you don't know what you're talking about, Abai. This is not a case of an Isur Me'ila. Me'ila means that a certain thing that's designated for Hegdesh is Asur if you use it in the way for your own purposes in a way that it was designated for Hegdesh. And the walls of the Heichal were designated for the inside, for those who are inside the Beis HaMikdash, and not for the outside. So that's not called getting benefit. But Rava says, on the contrary, I have a proof that in the case of Lo Efshar, it's Asur. And that's going to be the case of Mishal Shalin Esa Umnin. Because in order to guarantee that the Umnin would not enjoy the benefit of the beauty, right, observing, beholding the beauty of the Kodesh Kadoshim, they would roll them down in this pulley system. Why did they have to do that? These guys have to go in and fix the crack of the Kodesh Kodashim, and it's a case of low efshar. And according to you, Abai, even if you have kavana, but if it's low efshar, it should be mutter. So why did they go through this entire system of mishal shalin? And the Gemara says, "Maila osu b'kodesh kodashim." That you're right. According to Abai, at least technically, it would have been permissible for the workers to walk straight in by foot past the parochas into the Kodesh Kadoshim and fix whatever they have to fix. But the reason why they did this whole pulley system is because they wanted to engender a certain fear and an awe of the Kodesh Kadoshim. So they made a mila. Whenever you see the word mila, mem, ayin, lamed, hey, it means beyond the letter of the law in order to indicate the mitzvah of mora migdash. And in this case, it's the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, Rava says, I have another proof. What's my other proof? From a statement of Rav Shimon ben Pazi. And this is what we started here on the top of Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. Rav Shimon ben Pazi makes the following comment. Kol marav reach, ein bo mishum me'ila. That if you enjoy the benefit of and the pleasure of hearing the songs, the sweet songs of the Levium, I just want to comment, and I forgot to tell you this in case you don't know it. The Vilna Gaon claims that we have no clue how incredibly powerful the music and the singing of the Levim was. He writes that in our generation, we are so far away from those kind of spiritual pleasures that if we were to hear the Shir Salvim today, our neshamas would have to depart from our bodies. That's how powerful it was. So a person wants to listen to the song. Or, for example, we have something called Mara. Mara means he wants to observe and behold the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, the grandeur and the architecture and so forth and so on. Or Reach, he wants to smell the Ketores. In all these cases, Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ila. There's no Me'ila. So Rava says the following. Take a look at Rav Shimon ben Pasi in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. He's very careful and very meticulous about his formulation. He says, Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ila. Now there are two Isurim. Me'ila, if you remember, we discussed conceals two different Isurim. We call it Me'ila, but we think it's one entity, but really it's two entities. Me'ila means what, Rabosai? Gzela. Correct. Just like if I steal from Hejot, I can steal from Hegdesh. We just use it. We use a different word for it. The reason why the Torah used a different word for it is because there are different dinim in the case of somebody who steals from Hegdesh. If he steals from Hegdesh, then he has to bring a special Karban Hashem Me'ilos. He has to add a Karim V'chomesh in certain cases. There are many different dinim that apply to Me'ila. But otherwise, for example, what's the shear? What's the minimum amount that is required to violate the Isa Me'ila? Shava Pruta. It's exactly like Zela. Just like Zela is B'Shava Pruta, so too Me'ila is B'Shava Pruta. But there's another Isa involved in Hegdish. What's that? An Isa Hanah. Excellent. Besides the Isa Me'ila, there's an Isa Hanah. And the Isra Hanah is not limited to Shava Pruta. And from the fact that Rav Shimon ben Pasi told us that Kol Umara V'Reah Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ila, he didn't say it was Mutter. He just said there's no Me'ila. What he meant to say is technically this is not called Me'ila. Because I don't steal anything when I listen to the Shir HaSalaviyim. I don't steal anything from Hegdesh when I enjoy the Reach and the Ketores. And I don't steal anything from the Beis HaMikdash if I observe the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless I have Hanah. And apparently Rav Shimon ben Pasi holds that there's an Isur Hanah. Now, why should there be an Isur Hanah? This is a case of Lo Efshar. Could you imagine? A Kohen is called upon to go into the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avodah. And now he enjoys the smell of the Ketores that's a few feet away from him. He enjoys the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. He enjoys the kol of the Levim who are singing there on the Dukhan. Everything is there, but it's a Lo Efshar situation. So why does Rav Shimon ben Pasi say that we have to be very careful here? Don't have Kavanah. It means that the Kohanim have to be single-mindedly focused on their avodah. That's the purpose, and that's what they have to be involved in. Don't let them get distracted and seek out the pleasures of Kol Ma'ariv HaReach, because that would be a violation of what Isur Avosai? Me'ila, right? No, I'm fooling you. It's not Me'ila. Because there is no Me'ila in Kol Ma'ariv HaReach, but there is an Isur Hanah. Why is it in Isur Hanah? It should be a case of what? Of Lo Efshar. So you see, Abai, you're incorrect. Comes along in Abai and he says, no, you don't understand. Where Rav Shimon ben Pasi is raising, you know, what was he upset about? He's not upset about the Kohanim. As far as the Kohanim is concerned, what's their situation? Lo Efshar. And therefore he would not be worried, he wouldn't blink about that, says Abai. But the problem is, Osam Ha'omdim Ibachutz. There are people who are not going in for the sake of the Avodah. And what they do is they situate themselves, they locate themselves very close in order to hear the Levim, in order to get a full smell, you know, of the Ketores, in order to get a more beautiful enjoyment of the grandeur and the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's already Efshar. And that's what Rav Shimon ben Pasi wanted to say. You think, well, there's no Me'ila here, because what am I doing? I'm not stealing anything from Hegdesh. So therefore, let's get closer and closer. Let's enjoy the benefits of Kol Ma'ariv HaReach. Then, you're not allowed to, because now you violate the Isur Hanah min HaHegdesh. And this leads up to Gufa, which is here. And we have to, let's see, how many lines do we count down? I don't know. It's like halfway through the page.
What's the first word on the line?
Oh, you know what? Do you see Tosis Leoson?
Yep. Yep.
If that helps anybody.
Yep.
So if you go across from Tosis Leoson, you'll see the word Gufa, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Pasi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapar, Kol, Vemar, Varech, Eibim, Shum Me'ila. There's no Me'ila in Kol, Umare, Varech. So the Gemara says the following. I can understand kol and mare. In kol and mare, you're not really taking anything from Hegdesh. You're listening, you're enjoying the sight, the grandeur. But in the case of reach, it's a little bit more complicated. There are actually particles of ktores that are floating through the air. And I breathe them in through my nose when I smell. The reach ain't by mishum me'ila. Is there no me'ila? Are you not stealing some sort of reach of ktores, but something tangible, something realistic, something material? The reach ain't by mishum me'ila? ? For Tanya, we have a brisa. Hamafate mesak ktores. Okay, so here, Abosa, we need a few words of background. The Ktoris was made up of 11 different samamonim. How do you translate samamonim? Herbs, what do you say? Spices. Okay, we'll call them spices. And today I had a Gemara Megillah about one of those spices that wasn't so fragrant. Does anybody know what that is? The Chelbana, correct. And the Gemara derives increases the Vav that you have to invite the Chelbana, because once the Chelbana gets mixed in with the other 11, the other 10 Samamonim, then it also enhances the totality of the Ktores. What else? The Ktores was brought twice a day, Boker and Erev, on the Mizbach HaKtores in the Heichal. To create the Ktores, if you're familiar with the paragraphs that some of us recite before we get to Baruch Sha'amar, is called Pitum HaKtores. And the Torah says that only Ktores that's made for the tzibur, not for the community, to be used as Ktores is allowed to be made. You know, it's like, in a sense, if I give a mashal, if a woman has a very good recipe, it's hard for her to share that recipe because, you know, this is her special recipe. So the Torah, Kaviyachol, says, this is my special recipe for the Ktores. And you're allowed to mix it for the Tzibur. And the Torah now allows you, for the sake of the Tzibur, to create your own private Ktores and then contribute it to the Tzibur. Or, for example, to teach students exactly how to make the Ktores on behalf of the Tzibur. But what about someone who goes ahead and he makes the Ktores for his own purposes? He just wants to enjoy the incense and the fragrance, and the Torah says in such a case, V'nichras mi'amav hischayev koris. And the language of the Torah in Shmos Perek Lamed is, HaKtores asher ta'aseh b'matkunta, a Ktores which is made in the same recipe as the Torah has described, lo ta'asu lachem. You should not make for your own purposes. V'ish asher yaseh kamoha, if somebody duplicates the ktores for his own lahariachba, for his own purpose of smelling it, v'nichras me'amav hischayev kores. So now he's not involved in preparing the ktores, pitum ktores, for the sake of the tzibur. He's involved in imitating the ktores for his own personal benefits, and hischayev kores. So the Braisa says the following. By the way, to make the Ktoros was not simple. The Mishnah in Yuma tells us that there was a certain mishpacha, and Yizachalem b'gnai, we mention their names for gnai. Now, usually the Mishnayis are very careful about Lashon Hara, but in this case, they felt it was very important to mention the family name. Maybe people would have influence on that family name. It sounded like an Italian family, I don't know. But anyway, that family knew exactly how to make the Ktores. They had a tradition, and they didn't want to share it with anyone else. Not like Bezalel. You know, Bezalel knew how to build a Mishkan, and he taught his whole entourage, all the Chachmei Lev, how to build a Mishkan. So the Braisa says, I'm a Fatim is a Ktores, l'islamed ba, In other words, this is part of the educational process. He's learning how to make a ketores, olamoso letzibur, or he's making the ketores simply because he wants to contribute it to the tzibur. And it means that it should be used for the ketores. Now the Mishnah Melech is not happy. He says the following, that all of the Brisa establishes in Masechta Krisus, that's the sugya davov of ketores, that it has to be made in the Beis HaMikdash. Here he seems to be making it in his backyard, in his kitchen. How could he just give it to the tzibur? So the Mishnah Melech has a big problem. And he says that the kavon of the Brisa is Shemosra Litzibur. When it says here Mosra Litzibur, it also means Lislamid Ba. It wasn't the real McCoy Ketores that could be used on the Mizbeh because it was made outside the Mikdash. But it was also made Lislamid Ba so that after the process of education is complete, then the Talmidim would know how to create the Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, it's a little bit of a push in the language of the Brisa.
In the times where they had their own Mizbeach, I mean those...
Oh, the Bubos?
Right. Could that be the time that they're talking about that you could have made it on your own?
I don't believe that Ketores could be brought on a Bama, as far as I know. But a Bama is only for what's called the Karban Yachid. And a Ketores is a Karban Tzibur. There's no Karban Tzibur on a Bama. Again, I don't know, we're not learning Zvachim, but...
No, I'm just saying during that time...
When there was a Heter Bama... I don't know. That's an interesting question. Could a person make the ketores during the time of Heter Bomos and claim that somehow this is part of the preparation for the period of... Because again, Heter Bomos is only when there's no Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
So he's making the ketores because he, you know, B'mheri Yibada Beis HaMikdash. You know, Shiloh is destroyed, but we're going to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we're already in the process of education. This is a big machlokas. You're right. This is a gigantic machlokas. Has anybody heard of Machon HaMikdash?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So this is a big controversy. I don't want to get into it here because, you know, I don't want to prejudice your mind, but this whole enterprise called Machon HaMikdash is halachically, well, they claim there's a mitzvah to make the kalim and so forth and so on. I can tell you their political agenda, I understand, but I won't go into that. But making kalim when there's no Beis HaMikdash, all right, I didn't say anything. If you quote me, I'll deny that I said it.
You didn't hit the stop button.
Yeah. All right. In any event, so let's get back to the Brice. The Brice now says the following: in all these cases, potter, meaning since he made the ketores not for his own personal purposes, but his ultimate goal is for the sake of the ketores shel tzibur. Therefore, he's fine. But la riach ba, if he makes the ketores, he does a pitum haketores for his own personal purposes, chayav, he's chayav kares. As we said before, the pasuk is outspoken that he's chayav kares. And why is he chayav kares? Because he created the ketores for the purpose of la riach ba. In other words, for his own personal purposes. Okay.
Forgive me.
Now,
I don't understand. Rashi, I'm a fatanet ketoret, says ketoret zarash eina shel tzibur.
Right.
And then it says lemosro letzibur.
No, what he means to say is that he's going to give it over to the tzibur. Rashi wants to point out this is not the ketoret that was made in the Beis HaMikdash. Right. That's the mitzvah of making the ketoret. We're talking about someone who made the ketoros outside the Beis HaMikdash, right. But yet, since he didn't do it for his own personal benefits, he did it for the sake of the tzibur, and then it's okay. Okay, now Rabosai, what happens in the following case? Supposing Ruve makes ketoros, and he's chayv kares for that, because he made it for his own personal purposes. Now Shimon comes along, and he smells the ketoros that was made by Ruve. So in that case, Shimon is potter from Kares. Reuven is chayav Kares because he made the Ketores. Shimon smells the Ketores that's not Ketores. But in the next case, Hamayriach Ba. Now here the word Ba refers to the real McCoy Ketores, the Ketores that was made in the Beis HaMikdash. Potter Elishema. Now watch what goes on over here. On the one hand, he's potter, meaning he's not chayav Kares, because smelling is not called a me'ila sheyesh ba kares. Again, me'ila divides up into two categories. There's something called mezid, and then it's called shogeg. In a mezid situation, he's potter from kares. Why? Because he doesn't do, shall we say, anything active. The person who created the ketores, he did an asiyah. And the person who smells the real ketores, the real makoy ketores, the ketores shel tzibur, he did not do an asiyah. So he's not chay of kares. In other words, in the laws of onshin, we have a technicality. However, mal, as far as me'il is concerned, he's subject to the law of mila. That's against Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "Kol mara v'reach ein bo mishum me'ila." If this brisa would have told us that a me'riach ba violates the Isra Hanah, that would have been fine, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is telling us that there's no me'ila, but there is Hanah. But the brisa says explicitly, "Mal." Mal means he's chayav a karba me'ila. Mal means that he's going to have to add keren v'chomish and so forth and so on. Again, we're going to have to judge if somebody would pay at least a pruta for that enjoyment of the smell of the, and the fragrance of the ketores.
What if he doesn't know when he's walking by the illegally made ketores that it was illegally made?
So that's the case in the Gemara Nazir, which I don't want to get into. It's a whole shiur. You'll invite me back for a shiur for an hour on this topic. The Gemara says she took an oath, and little unbeknown to her, her husband was mefer the neder, and then she violated the neder. So the Gemara says, well, there was no neder to violate, because once he's mefer the neder is completely void. But nevertheless, it says Hashem yislach lo in the pasuk in Matos. So the Gemara derives in the Durim that she needs kapara, because she thought. So, for example, if I don't want to say about myself, but let's say Ruvik thinks that this is non-kosher meat and he eats it. It turns out, as luck would have it, it was kosher meat. So the question is, does he need a kapara for such an avera? So, for example, a person smells the ketores thinking it's the real makoy ketores, and it turns out that it was a fake ketores. It was not endowed with the kedusha of ketores. That's your case, right? So that would come under that sugya of sechta d'dorim.
It was reversed. The guy, the person who made
He thought it was not a real ketores.
In an improper manner.
Yeah.
The person made the ketores in the improper manner.
Right.
The other person walked by and derived benefit from that.
Right,
now,
so
he doesn't know that the
he thinks it might be a proper ketores. That's exactly the sugya that I told you about. I think that this is kosher meat. I'm sorry. I think that this is non-kosher meat. He thought that it was the real makoy ketores.
Correct.
So that's called Hashem Yisachlo. That's the famous sugya called Hashem Yisachlo. Again, you could say shiurim on that sugya for hours and hours. You know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a case of a woman who had yichud with a man, a married woman, and she thought her husband was outside the city. And it turned out her husband was inside the city. That's the case of Hashem Yislach, a very complicated sugya. When a person mistakenly thought he was violating an aveiru, and as luck would have it, he did not violate an aveiru. Okay, fine. But again, getting back to our sugya. So, Rabosai, bottom line, if a person smells the ketores, the real makoy ketores shel tzibur that was made in the basement, and he did so because he wants to enjoy the benefit of the aroma of the ketores, is that me'ilah or is it not me'ilah? According to Rabbi Shua ben Pazi, kol umar avarech ein bo mishum bil. According to the Brisa says, ha-me'riach ba ma'al. So what is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi going to do, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, what are they going to do with this brisa? El Omer of Papa, you know what? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was misquoted. I have a different version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And in my version it says, Kol Umara Ein Bahem Mishum Me'ila. Lefisha ain bohem mamish. You're not really taking anything. There's nothing physical that you're taking. Hearing and seeing is from a distance. But the reach liachar shetale tumraso ain bo mishum me'ila hol v'nasis mitzvaso. Okay, so this becomes complicated. So let me just say the following: the reach yesh bo mishum me'ila. That's how we have to read it. I'm not changing the text. Don't get nervous. But what I mean to say, for pedagogic purposes, what Rav Pop is saying is, take out the word reach from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi only meant to exclude kol umare because that's called ein behem mamish, but reach is considered yesh behem mamish. No, it's if that you take, like I said before, you're taking particles of ketores that are floating through the air. I don't know the physics of it, and you're intaking them. That's called davar sheyesh bo mamish, and therefore you would violate me'ilah. However, there's another principle called Nases Mitzvaso. Now let's understand. In every Iser Me'ilah, what the Torah is saying by Me'ilah is that this is Hegdesh. What that means is that this is designated for a certain purpose, and a certain mitzvah has to be fulfilled. And if you enjoy that and take away from that, then you're basically undermining the designation of that object for Hegdesh. Now we have a principle called Nases Mitzvah. So it's designated for that mitzvah up until the point that you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah. But beyond that point, it's no longer designated for the mitzvah because you've already fulfilled the mitzvah. That's called Nases Mitzvah. So do you hear this, Rabbi Osai? This is very exciting. This is logical. When I can understand a piece of Gemara, I want to make a bracha to Hashem. This is one Gemara that I understand. The Gemara is saying that the reason why this me'ilah is because you have to fulfill a certain mitzvah with this. You have big day kahuna, and the kohen has to wear those begadim, and he has to fulfill the mitzvah. And you have ketores, and the ketores is designated to be burnt on the mizbeach, right? And you're now gonna take that ketores for your own purposes. That's called me'ilah. Take for example, you have something on the mizbeach which is called deshen. Deshen means that after the carbon is burnt on the mizbeach, what you're left with are the ashes of the burnt carbon. And you could do something with that. It could be used for fertilizer, etc., etc. So you're benefiting from it. Is that me'ilah? The answer is nay. That's not me'ilah. This carbon was singled out for the purpose of the mitzvah of bringing the carbon. I already brought the carbon. I already fulfilled my mitzvah. Then there's no me'ilah. Now, in the case of ketores, at what stage does the bell ring? You know, you hit the red bell on top, and bingo, you were Makayim, the mitzvah of Haktoras, Haktores. And that's called, in the language of Chazal, in the Mishnayos, and in the Brises, and in the Gemaras, that's called Shetale Tamroso, which means that the smoke goes up. As soon as the smoke goes up, what's left on the bottom is Nases Mitzvah. There's no point in the world to leave it there beyond that moment. So therefore, what happens if he smells the ketores purposely, deliberately, for the sake of pleasure? Li'achar shetale timroso. After it was ready, the mitzvah of haketorah on the mizbeach was fulfilled. You know what I mean? It's still burning, and there's plenty of good fragrance there, but the mitzvah of ketores has been fulfilled. That's where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "Ein bo mishum me'ilah." He did not mean to say that if you deliberately smell the fragrance of the ketores before talat tumrasa, that ein bo mishum me'ilah. No, there is me'ilah in reach, and we saw it explicitly in the Braisa. The Braisa told us, as far as ketores is concerned, that there's an iser me'ilah with a chiyuv karva me'ilah if a person deliberately smells from the ketores, but that's only because it was before talat timroso. It had a din of hegdesh and an iser me'ilah before you fulfilled the mitzvah. When did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say that kol mara v'reach ein bo mishum me'ilah? That's only after talat timroso. Hoil v'naseis mitzvaso. Once you fulfilled the mitzvah, it's no longer designated for a mitzvah. Therefore, it is not subject to me'ilah, because Nases Mitzvaso removes me'ilah. Now Rashi says that if it was before Talat Himroso, then you're a Moel through Reach, because Yesh Mamish B'Samamone Akhtoris. Again, if you're counting up, some people like to underline the Rashi. It's a very important Rashi. It's about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. And the Dibra Maskel is V'reach. And I underlined it. It says, Yesh bo mamish b'samimonim. So Rashi is saying that there is samimonim. there is a mamish in the summer. It's not like kol umara. But again, the me'il is only going to apply before the mitzvah was fulfilled. Kodim shetala timrosa. So I don't know, Rabbosai, have you ever heard of the Tosfos HaRosh? You know, we think that the Balei HaTosfos are just the Tosfos that we have on the page. I mean, some of that is just a historical accident, coincidence, that these Tosfosin were printed on the page. There were many other Tosfosin by various other Rishonim of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Balei HaTosfos, that never made it to the page. For example, the Rosh had his own version of Tosfos, his own edition, his own manuscripts that came from the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Peretz had such, and the Rosh Mishantz had such. There are many, many Balei HaTosfos. Chachmei Anglia, there are many, many Tosfos. So now we have the Tosfos HaRosh. The Tosfos HaRosh says he doesn't understand this Rashi. He says the following: Halogam l'dover sha'oso hu roeh. If Rashi is saying that there's mamish in the samamonim of the Ketores, meaning the Ketores itself, if I look at it, it's a dover sheyesh bo mamish. He says the following: Gam mishu hu roeh, or mishu shomeh hakol. There is a mamish over here. Okay, in the case of kol, it's a little bit more complicated, but in the case of re'iyah, I'm looking at something that's absolutely stunning. It's a dover sheyesh bo mamish, it's tangible. Madua ein me'ila. Why is there no me'ila in mara? According to Rashi, there's me'ila in reach because there's mamoshes in the ketores. Well, why not say there's mamoshes in the structure of the Kodesh Kodashim or the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and you're benefiting from the mara that should also be subject to me'ila? So now the Rosh says the following: It can't be that Rashi means that there's mamish in the ketores. He means something else. Yesh mamish bereach haketores. That's what Rashi means. Not in the ketores itself. Ketores itself has mamish, but then anything could have mamish. But yet, kol mara v'reach ein bo mishum me'ila. He says, no. Why is it mamish? Because the reach of the ketores is yesh bo mamish. Shu nichnas l'toch haguf. That the reach goes into the body. And then he quotes the Gemara Brachos Haneshama Nenes Mimen. Okay, there's something very spiritual about Reach, which we're not going to go into today. But it comes out that the Rosh is saying that there's something in the Reach itself. The Reach actually goes into the goof. So again, I don't have the biology of it, but something chemical, something physical goes into the body, and that, you know, collides or connects with your nervous cells that are in the nose, and that gives you the smell. But something is going in there. In the case of Re'iyah, you are seeing it from a distance. Now, what does the Rosh mean when he says that we cannot accept Rashi kipshuto? Because the Rashi says that Mari Yesh Bo Mamish, because the Samamonim, the Ketores itself has Mamish, because let's apply that in the case of Re'iyah, because you're seeing something that has Mamish, that's tangible. And he says the same thing with regard to Kol. What's Mamish in a Kol? I mean, I listen to a Kol. Is that a Dover Sheyesh Bo Mamish?
What does the word mamish mean?
Mamish means tangible, substance, something material, something physical. Yesh bo mamish. So Rashi says, why is reach yesh bo mamish? It seems from the straightforward interpretation of the words of Rashi, as we underline them, that the samamonim themselves are physical or tangible. So the Tosfos Rosh says that's impossible, because then mara would also be yesh bo mamish, because you're seeing something that's tangible. But what I didn't understand, if you can empathize with me, what does he mean by kol? The Tosfos Rosh says that if you take Rashi's explanation, I would argue that even kol is yesh bo mamish.
It certainly gets internalized.
What do you say?
It certainly gets internalized.
No, I don't think that's what he means. I think what he means is that the kli, right? When the Levium sang, they sang with musical accompaniment. So let me try to just give you a little bit of an idea of what I have in mind. The Gemara says the following in Masech to Rosh Hashanah. There's something called a shofar shel ola. What that means is that I look at this animal, let's call it a ram, an ayal, and I designate it for a carbon. Then, what I did was I cut off its horn, and I blew it on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, that's not called what we normally have as a principle called mitzvah ba. Anybody know what I have in mind? Mitzvah ba ba'vera. Why? Because kol ein bo mishum me'ilah. The Rambam takes it a step further, and the Rambam says if you steal an animal and then you cut off its shofar, or you steal a shofar, is also, that's not called mitzvah bo ba'vera. Why? Because kol ein bo mishum me'il. Now, I don't get it. How can the Gemara say that a shofar shall karva, shall zevach ayil, is not, that's not called me'il? I don't get it. Why shouldn't that be me'il? I mean, he's using the shofar. He's taking the shofar and he's benefiting from it. Okay, you have to know about the sugya mitzvah slav lehenos, but leaving that out, he's benefiting from the shofar. Ah, what's the answer on both sides?
He's benefiting from himself.
Excellent. He's not benefiting from the shofar. The shofar is only an instrument. It's only a means to create a call. The mitzvah that he wants to benefit from is hearing the call. So I think what's going on here is that the Tosus of Rosh understood that according to Rashi's logic, that the Samamonim is a Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish, and therefore there's Me'il and Reach, and therefore the Tosus of Rosh says that in the case of Mara, that's also Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish, and there should be Me'ilah. The Tosus of Rosh took it one step further. And he understood that in the case of Kol, when the Levium are playing these instruments, the instruments are Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish, and therefore there should be Me'ilah. But that I don't think is a valid objection to Rashi. Because in the case of Kol, he's not benefiting from the musical instruments. He's benefiting from what? The sound that comes out of the musical instruments. And on that, there's no Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish. So in other words, let's distinguish between the instrument itself, the flute, and the beautiful sounds that come out of the flute. As far as the flute, that's certainly a Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish, but he's not being moel in the flute. What is he doing with the flute? He's enjoying the kol and the sounds that come out of the flute. That's a Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish. So if there's an argument here against Rashi, it cannot be an argument against Kol. It could be an argument against Mara because he's taking the Mara from a Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish. But as far as Kol is concerned, he's taking the Kol, and the Kol is a Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish. So the Gemara comes to the final conclusion that is there Reach in Ketores? Is there Me'il in Reach in Ketores, or is there not? Whenever I ask you a question, you always start the answer with two words. It depends. Great. You're getting into it. If it was before Shetale Tamroso, which is before Nasis Mitzvah, so then Yesh Bo Mishum Me'il. And the reason for that is Reach Yesh Bo Mishum Me'il. It says Tosa Rosh. What does it mean? Reach Yesh Bo Mishum Me'il. There are particles that enter into his body. And that's a Dovrash Yesh Bo Mamish. That's something physical. But after Tala Timroso, smell away, enjoy the fragrance. Why? Because at that point it's already been Nasis Mitzvaso. Once it's Nasis Mitzvaso, there's no Me'ilah. Me'ilah only applies to something that's designated for a mitzvah, but once the mitzvah has already been implemented and fulfilled, there's no longer Me'ilah. And I was thinking out loud here that you remember I mentioned yesterday the Gemara in Yuma that says that the ladies all the way out in Yericho would enjoy the benefit of the fragrance of the Ketores. That might be after Tala Timroso. I mean, Tala Timroso takes a few seconds. Certainly, and by the time it reaches Yericho or Malaya Dumin, right, by that time it's already Lacher Shetala Tala Timroso. Yes, yes, David.
When the Levians sing, granted it's not mamish, but singing is the mitzvah, is the singing. So if someone hears a singing, they're being involved in the mitzvah itself, like with the Ketores going up in smoke. the mitzvah is to sing.
Right. So the answer there is ein bo mamish. Here's the difference between kol and reach. Reach is dovr sheyesh bo mamish, and kol is dovr sheein bo mamish.
Could be that, but they say that if I'm standing next to you and I inhale the Torah, I am in a way diminishing your hana. Whereas if I hear this.
Wait, I lost you. Wait a second. Who? I lost the case.
So I'm standing next to you,
right,
and I inhale for the purpose of smelling the Ketores. In some way, that takes away from your hana.
Right, or let's say from the Reach Nichok that has to go up to Shomayim. I'm stealing and grabbing something from the Ketores, because the Ketores and the smell that comes from the Ketores is a Dover Sheyesh Bo. Dover Sheyesh Bo.
But someone's singing. The fact that I hear in no way diminishes your benefit.
Right. Correct. It's almost like the principle, if you remember, the Gemara Ksuba says, Ner li'ech and ner li'meha. You know, the fact that we're all benefiting from the light that comes from the candle, and 100 people are benefiting, that doesn't in any way detract from anyone else's hanah. Okay. Now here at Bosai, I have two important footnotes to share with you from the Masifta. One is from the Aruch Laner. And I'll tell you in a minute who the Aruch Laner is, in case you don't know, because the man was a genius of geniuses. He says the following. B'chol ofen, shenene b'harchosa, harchosa means the smelling, mal, af im ha-reach, hi-reach es ha-sasavonim atzmon, el shekein derech lahanos miktores, al yidei haktorosa. He wants to know the following. We've been talking now about me'ilo when a person smells the fragrance of the ketores. Now, when do you smell the fragrance of the ketores? When it goes up and it's being burnt. He wants to know what happens if you would take the ketores itself after it was concocted, after it was mixed, and you would smell the ketores itself. Would you be in violation of the iser me'ilo? In other words, why did the Gemara have to mention, in explaining Rav Shimon ben Pazi and justifying the Braisa says that in the case of Ketores there is Me'ilah, so you have to justify, according to Rav Shimon ben Pazi, it's before the Talat Timroso, after the Talat Timroso. Drop that whole discussion. I can save you a lot of time and effort. I can just simply, what's the word? I can... What?
Circumvent
the whole problem. Why? Maybe the Bryce is talking about a case where the person takes the Ketores into his hands before it was burnt. Now it's certainly Hegdesh. There's no Nasis Mitzvah, so. And he smells it. And that would be the case. Then, Nene Mireach HaKetores, in such a case, Moel Afilu Kodem Sheh. You say dafka kodem shetalatim rosso, right? When it's right, but we don't have to. We don't have to say that we're talking about kodem shetalatim rosso, because then you're already talking about the haktara. Maybe even before the haktara, there would be mila. And here, the Aruch Laner wants to quote the Gemara that we just learned to solve this problem. The Gemara says that the Kohanim who enter into the Migdash, they can enjoy, according to Abai, at least they can enjoy the benefit of Kol Marav Reach. Why? Because it's Lo Efshar. They have to go in there for the Avodah. However, those who are outside and they're not going into the Avodah, and they move closer in order to enjoy the benefit, that's called Me'ilah. Correct? And we had a similar discussion about the Heichal itself, that the shade of the Heichal, that's only for those who are inside. That's where, in other words, the designation of the Heichal is to protect the Kelim or whatever else is inside the Migdash, but has nothing to do with those who are on the outside. So the Aruch Laner wants to say the following. That if you take Ketores into your hands and you smell the Ketores, that's not Me'ilah. Even though Reach is a Dover Sheyesh Bo Mamish, but that's not a violation of Me'ilah. Why? Because what is this designated for? It's designated for Haktorah. So to benefit from it during the process of Haktorah, that's called Me'ila. But if you're benefiting from it in a way that it wasn't designated for that, that's like the case of the Heichal, where it's L'tocho Hu Asui, where the shade is meant to... Well, not the shade, whatever it is, the protection is meant for the inside. So I'll read to you the language of the Aruch Haner. He says the following. Be ofen shemoel me'aktores atzma, right? Heiriach es ha-samamonim atzma. He says, ein bo me'ila. Why? Shekein ha-derech lehenos miktores al yidei ha-ktorosa, that if you're nene when it's being burnt on the Mizbeach, and that's what it's designated for, then there's Me'ilah. So therefore the Gemara was forced to say that he was smelling the Ketores as it was going up in smoke. And if he does so before Talat Timroso, he violates Me'ilah. Then he goes on, and he says the following. Why does the Brisa mentioned Reach, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. No, I'm sorry. Why does Rav Shimon ben Pazi mention that Reach Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila? And he's referring to the case of Li'achar Shetala Timrosa, Nasis Mitzvosa. But he gathers that together with Kol Umare. Now, Kol Umare, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. So the statement here of Rav Shimon ben Pazi is very misleading. He says, Kol Umar V'Reach, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. Well, he's combining two different categories. In the case of Kol V'Mara, why Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila? Tzedovash Ein Bo Mamish. In the case of Reach, why is Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila? Because Nasis Mitzvah. So, does everybody... I feel like I'm talking to the wall here. Nobody understands what I'm saying here. Again, Rav Shimon ben Pazi makes the following statement. Kol Umara V'Reach Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. Let's analyze that. In the case of Kol Umare, the reason why there's no meal is because you're not taking anything tangible. That's called a Dover Shein Bo Mamish. In the case of Reach, it is a Dover Shein Bo Mamish, but there's no meal because it was Liachar Shetala Timroso, which means the mitzvah was already fulfilled. I mean, you're combining apples and oranges in the same breath. So he quotes the following answer. He says there was something that Rav Shimon ben Pazi wanted to teach us by gathering together Kol Umara V'Reach into one statement, integrating them into one statement. Sha'af she'ein b'em mishum me'ila, aval yesh me'ila b'dovar she'mehem heim magim dahainu, the thing that generates this, that is subject to me'ila. Dahainu akli menagen habayis and the ketores. So the Chazon Ish rejects the Aruch Haner, and he says the following: that in the case of Kol Mara V'Reach, what we're saying is that he was benefiting without negia, without maga. In other words, he never touched the object itself that was Hegdesh. He looked at it from a distance. He heard the kalim as they were playing the instruments. He smelled the ketores from a distance. Therefore, Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. But in a case of negia, in a case where he would directly benefit, let's say, for example, a person would lift up one of the kalim of the Mishkan, of the Migdosh, and he would start playing one of those instruments. That would be Me'ila. Let's say a person would rub up against, just thinking of examples, rubbing up against the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, he scratches back, right? So that would be Me'ila. That's called Maga. And now he says, and here's where he's taking issue with the Yoruch Laner, that if he would take up the Ketores in his hands and smell it, he would be chayav for Me'il. Just going to underline this. Now, I'm going to make an attempt at sharing with you an insight here, the Brisker Rav, and I'm asking for Siyata Dishmaya here. The Brisker Rav says the following. The mitzvah of Ketores does not require that all the Ketores, the entire volume, be burnt and go up to Shamayim, like by Talatim Rosso. That is the pillar of smoke go up. He says the following. There could be Ketores that never was burnt, or at least it's in the process of burning. And yet, paradoxically, we would still apply the principle of Nasis Mitzvos. Means we could split the Ketores, the physical volume of the Ketores, into two parts. Some of it has to reach Talatim Rosso. Once part of it reaches Talatim Rosso, Nasis Mitzvos, there's no mitzvah that requires of us that the entire volume of the Ketores go up into Tim Rosso. Now here's the question. Clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if he was meriach from that part of the Ketores that was already talatim rosso, in such a case there's no me'ilah. But what would you say if he enjoys the fragrance of that part of the Ketores that hasn't yet reached the stage of talatim rosso? Would there be me'ilah? L'chor yes, no? Right? Are you with me? Again, the Nasis Mitzvoso applies to that part of the Ketores which cleanses the mitzvah. But there may be part of the Ketores that's a little bit slower, you know, it doesn't have an IQ of 150, it only has an IQ of 110, and it takes a little bit more time until it's Talatim Rosso. Says the Brisker Rav, at this point, I would say the following. He would still be in violation of Me'ilah because he smelled the Ketores, and he's smelling the Ketores that wasn't Talatim Rosso. It's Kodem Shetalatim Rosso. Says the Brisker Rav, nay, because it's halacha nasis mitzvaso, and since the halacha does the Torah doesn't require us within the context of this mitzvah that the entire Ketores be talatim rosso, once part of the Ketores is talatim rosso and he clinches the mitzvah, as we said, the bell rings, you know, the red bell goes off, then there's no isur me'ilah on the rest of the Ketores. Comes along the Brisker Rav, and he says the following. I'll read it to you inside. Mashin is bar b'gemar she'ein me'ilah b'reach li'achar she'talatim rosso mishum she'nasis mitzvoso. He says, ein ze ela b'reach abom en ha'ketores ato, ach, hatam she'ein me'ilah b'reach she'nosar. Nosar means that it hasn't yet reached the stage of talatim rosso. B'moko mishas k'aktora. He says, you cannot say Nasis Mitzvoso on that part. Wow. Do you hear what the Brisker Rav wants to say the following? That Nasis Mitzvoso, does anybody know a little bit about Brisk? In Brisk, they always differentiate between the Gavra and the Cheft, right? So this is a typical, you know, part of Brisk. You know, the Brisker Rav is the Talmud of his father, Reb Chaim. He's saying the following. It's true that as far as our fulfillment of the mitzvah, only part of the Ketores has to go up Talatim Rosso. And that Lechora would be Nasis Mitzvah for the entire volume. But he says, then, there's another cube in the Cheftz of the Ketores, that this Ketores, in order to be Mater Me'ilah, you've got to have a Nasis Mitzvah in the Ketores itself, inherent in the Ketores. And this part of the Ketores never was Talatim Rosso, and therefore there was no mitzvah in the Cheftza. So we have two obligations. We have one obligation to make sure that the OL is full of smoke, and we can fulfill that even with part of the Ketores. That's called Talatim Rosso. And then, Gendik, as far as that's concerned, we finish. Finito. But then there's another mitzvah, and there's a mitzvah in the Guf HaKetores, in the object itself. And that can only be fulfilled when it's Talatim Rosso. Therefore, I should come to the following conclusion, says the Brisker Rav, that part of the Ketores that he was smelling that was already Talatim Rosso, there's no Me'ilah. But on that part of the Ketores which was not Talatim Rosso, and there was no Kiyum in the Ketores of Talatim Rosso, the Ketores was not complete, that should be subject to Me'ilah. If you only deal with the Nasis Mitzvah from the perspective of the Beis HaMikdash and what we have to do then the rest of the Ketores, the balance, even though it wasn't Tal Timra, so is not subject to Mila. But if there's an additional Kiyum, and the mitzvah is in the Ketores itself, that the Ketores, since it was sanctified as Ketores, every single particle of the Ketores has to go up in smoke, then there would be Me'ila on the rest of the balance of the Ketores. Says the Brisker Rav. Now we go back to Reb Shimon ben Pazi, and Reb Shimon ben Pazi says, Kol umara v'reach ein bo mishum me'ila. And reach ein bo mishum me'ila means what? That it was talatim rosso. Ah, you'll ask me, what about the balance of the Ketores that wasn't yet talatim rosso? That's also ein bo mishum me'ila. Why? Because that has the same status as kol umara. Our question was, why did Reb Shimon ben Pazi join together, integrate kol umara v'reach ein bo mishum me'ila when it's two different things? It's ein bo mishum me'ila in the case of kol v'mara because it's a dovrish ein bo mamish. In the case of the Ketores, it's ein bo mishum me'ila because it's nasis mitzvah. So says the Brisker Rav, no. Even in the case of reach, we're going to apply the principle of ein bo mishum me'ila. And why? Because the nasis mitzvah is only going to help me on part of the Ketores. It's not going to allow me to have benefit and reach from the balance of the Ketores because there was no kiyum in the mitzvah of the balance of the Ketores, right? So once again, there should be me'ila. There's only nasis mitzvah on the part of the Ketores that went up to smoke. That's why Reb Shimon ben Pazi wants to tell us a chiddush that once it was nasis mitzvaso, once it was talatim rosso, now we're going to apply the principle of ein bo mishum me'ila because it's a dovrish ein bo mamish in the same way that we apply that principle to kol v'mara. Now I told you I would say a few words about the Aruch HaNer because I can't. His name was Ettlinger. He was a German Jew, and he had many Talmidim. He was brilliant, but one Talmud is very, very famous. Does anybody know who that Talmud was? Rav Shimshon Lefol Hirsch. And all of Rav Shimshon Lefol Hirsch's Torah came from the Aruch HaNer. Now, if I would ask you the following question, what is the attitude of Judaism towards secular studies? Pro or con?
It depends.
Good, excellent. It depends on many different factors, but one factor is it depends what country you come from, and I mean that honestly, because in certain countries, like in Hungary for example, it was absolutely unacceptable. In other countries it was very acceptable, and one of those countries where it was very acceptable was Germany. And the reason for that is mostly because of the Aruch HaNer. The Aruch HaNer felt that it was very important to study secular studies. So why did he leave the university in Berlin in the year 1820 when he was taking philosophy in university? Because of anti-Semitism. They forced him to leave. He would have stayed to continue his studies. So German anti-Semitism goes back a long time. I mean, it didn't start in 1820. And British anti-Semitism also goes back a long time. Anti-Semitism goes back a long time. What can I tell you? But the Aruch HaNer was a mind-boggling genius. He wrote prolifically. He was a prolific writer. And amongst his Talmidim, he had a Talmud called Reb Shimshon Lefol Hirsch. Rabosai, where are we up to for tomorrow? Tomorrow we want to study a sugya called Trumas HaDeshen and Big Day Kahuna. And the question is, would Me'ila be applicable to Trumas HaDeshen? Let's say the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, he wears his special begadim. After the Avod of Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Hedjot now wants to inherit those begadim out of the eight that belong to the Kohen Hedjot that are appropriate for him. Is there Me'ila? What principle should apply? Nasis mitzvah. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol already fulfilled his mitzvah. Let the Kohen Hedjot enjoy the benefit of these begadim. In the case of Trumas HaDeshen, the Zevach was brought on the Mizbeach. There already was Haktorah. Now we have the ashes. Right? Now we all fall down. Right? Well, we should say there's no Me'ila. Why is there no Me'ila in Trumas HaDeshen? Nasis mitzvah. Rav Bolsai, please promise me that by tomorrow, if I ask you any question, you'll be able to answer Nasis Mitzvos. I'm just asking for two words. Because if you don't, I go bananas. Because I think that you didn't follow the Shia. There's a halacha me'ila called Nasis Mitzvos. I'm going to apply that to Trumas Hadeshen tomorrow and to Big Day Kohen Gadol tomorrow. And we're going to try to figure out what happens in these two cases. The Torah tells us that there's a violation of me'ila in Trumas Hadeshen. There's a violation of me'ila in the Big Day Kohen Gadol. Why is that so? Why don't we apply the principle of Nasis Mitzvos? Okay then? So we're up to the words Lememra on Daf Chavav Amin Aleph. And that's where Bli Neder will be able to pick it up tomorrow.
See, this is a risk of share. If you come with me to budgets in Bnei Brak, Yom Kippur, that you, the call gets internalized.
Then it'll be Yisro Mamish.
Exactly.
What, every year you go to hear Moshe? Wow. Are there any tapes that I can hear? I mean, that's not the real thing, but...
A million tapes of Moshe's there.
Yeah, can I... what do I press in Moshe? And it'll just show up? How do you spell Moshe?
M-O-D-Z-I-T-Z.
Wait, one second. If I don't write this down, it's not even a hammer, I'll remember it. Do you have a little piece of paper here? If you could write
it
down.
Send it to him in an email.
Or send him in an email.
Rashuk.
Yeah.